personal devotion with him, getting to know him intimately, spending time with him, perfects the love of God in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's number one again?
Obedience.
Obedience. Obedience to the word causes the love of God to be perfected in us. Scripture's right there, plain and clear. Number two. What's number two? You got to practice the love of God on the people that's around you. You say, well, I don't have nobody around me. There's somebody around you that you can practice love. You can look for somebody that you can help, that you can serve. The scriptures say, by love, serve one another. That means look for somebody to encourage. Look for somebody you can meet a need. You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Majestic and so marvelous.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
We certainly want to, again, remind us afresh as we grow and mature in the things of God, how God expects us to continuously move and progress from one level to the next level, to be able to see the growth, to make decisions that will affect our lives and our well-being, to be blessed the way God wants us to be. And so part of that is being able to take responsibility for where we are and where God wants us to be. How many times have we found in our lives we've been in a place and it just seems like every time we're not where we're supposed to be, every time things are not going right, every time there is something that's not the way that it should be, we find ourselves pointing the finger at somebody else. My mama, my daddy, my sister, my brother, your husband, your wife, your friend, your this. It's always somebody but you. But what's interesting is that every time you bring up issues, guess who's always a part of it? You. Now, it's a different person now, but you're the only one who's a part of this problem, who is still the only one who was a part of the last problem. You're still the one that was a part of the problem before, and it seems like the people change, but you're still a part of the problem. So at some point, when do you really take responsibility for the fact that maybe the problem is you? And so we want to talk about responsibility because it's important to realize that you are responsible for you. If things keep happening to you, if things keep going wrong for you, if you can't get to the place God wants you to be, then you need to recognize that you may have the problem you need to correct. If we were to leave out of church today and you got in your car and your car didn't start and I got in my car and it did, would it really make sense for you to come look under my hood when yours won't start? No, the problem ain't under my hood. If we were parked side by side, now I might be able to help you by giving you a jump since your battery is dead, but the problem isn't under my hood, it's under yours. So I'm saying to us, we've got to get in that point where we mature and grow in the Lord, stop blaming everybody. And here's when it really gets bad. When while you may not audibly say, God, it's your fault, you insinuate, well, God, well, let me give you an example, since some of you all are looking at me holier than thou. Adam said to God, when he messed up in the garden, God, I really wouldn't have messed up if you wouldn't have given me that woman. The woman you gave me. Do y'all read your Bible? Do you know that's in there? He blamed God. Now, God saw that he was lonely, didn't have nobody, didn't have nothing. He watching each animal have a mate, enjoying each other after its kind. God saw that it was not good for him to be what?
Alone.
So he makes him a helpmeet. He makes him the head. Well, you know, he gives them joint authority, but he makes him the head. He gives him the responsibility and authority of being the one who sets the tenor and the tone, who makes clear this is the way. In other words, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the. He gave him that responsibility and privilege first. And so then when he tells Eve, baby, we're not supposed to eat of this tree, Eve was beguiled, fooled, deceived by the serpent, and then she deceived Adam. But Adam didn't have an excuse because God didn't tell Eve, don't eat of the fruit. He told Eve's head, him, Adam, the man. If I tell you, that means I'm telling you, so that means you tell everybody under you. God is a structured God. Now, if God got to tell everybody, why does he need you to tell him? You got to realize that's how God operates. That's why structure is so important. God is not going to do for you what he expects you to do for yourself. He will do the impossible, but he expects you to do the possible. So if God gives you a position and gives you authority and places you with a responsibility, he makes sure that he follows his own structure. And he's not gonna go to folk and do the things underneath you that you're supposed to be doing. So again, this responsibility is so important in so many areas of our lives. Let's look, if you will, at Romans 14 and 12, which simply says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. When it's all said and done, my brother and sister, you know, you can blame this person and that person, you can blame me and everybody else you want, but you're gonna have to give an account to God for your part. For your part. You know, when people come for counseling and they wanna talk, especially, you know, I've learned from experience that it doesn't make sense to counsel a husband and a wife and only the husband is there. If it's about marriage counseling, it don't make sense for me to counsel the wife and the husband is not there if it's about marriage. Because whatever he says or whatever she says, there is not that other person to refute that or to bear witness to that. And so here's what I need you to understand, that we have to give an account of our stewardship to God, of our deeds done. And so if it's going to be done right, then if there is a problem, it takes two to make it, it takes two to break it. So it ought to be two people getting the same instruction, correction, etc. Now, if you got issues about other spiritual matters, that's another story. But if it's marital issues, then it just makes sense. Because when you got one person there getting the instruction, they don't want to hear it from the other person who come back and say, I met with the pastor. You know what the pastor said? I don't care what the pastor said. Amen. Brother A.D. must have talked to some pastor because he ain't had marriage counsel with me. But he said, I ain't married a pastor. You're right. I mean, then you want to really wind him up? Tell him what another man said. I don't care what that man is. That may be part of his problem right now with you. You're not respecting his authority. You know, so many things we can go, but that's a whole nother story that I don't even know why I got there. But I'm just telling you, Adam and Eve had issue, and Adam went and told God that Eve was the problem. You think if they had gone to counseling, he would have told that in front of Eve's face? God, Eve is the problem. He wouldn't have said that then. He might have manned up and said, I'm the problem. I'm wrong. I take full responsibility. But he did not. And everybody got punished. The serpent got punished. The man got punished. The woman got punished. The land got punished. The frogs, the dogs, everybody got punished. Amen. And we're a byproduct of that punishment. Through one man, sin entered into the world. And it's through that first man, Adam, that we're paying for this. But thanks be to God for the second man, Adam, whose name is Jesus, that we can get repentance from that sin. So again, we've got to give an account of God, of ourselves rather, to God, and that's so important. Let's look at some definitions of responsible. Liable to be required to give account as of one's action or of the discharge of a duty or trust. Two, involving personal accountability or ability to act without guidance or superior authority. Being a source or cause. We're talking about being responsible. It's the definition of responsible. Able to make moral or rational decisions on one's own and therefore answerable for one's behavior. Able to be trusted or depended upon. Reliable. When we talk about responsible, these are the things that you ought to understand as relates to responsibility. Based on or characterized by good judgment or sound thinking. Now, having this understanding of the word responsible, let's go on to some of the things biblically, and we're just going to touch on several areas just to give you an idea of what the Bible holds us charged responsible for as it relates to our growth and our maturity and development in Christ. First, you are responsible for what you think, what you deem important. Proverbs 23, verse 7, and the A clause says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, God needs you to know that anything that you think of, that you permit to occupy your thought processes, which continues to develop that thought, which winds up ending up in your heart, he says, you deem that thing something worthy. Now, content produces character. Character allows you to make choices. Choices have consequences. You can't have the right consequences if you don't make the right choices. You can't make the right choices if you don't have the right character. And you can't have the right character unless you have the right content to develop your character. And the right content comes from the Word of God. So when you realize that, that's what gives you the ability to make sound decisions, good decisions, rational and moral decisions based on the content that's in your character, what you've learned, what you've deemed worthy to think about, to think on, to develop your thought processes. Because listen, Satan can introduce a thought to you, but guess who develops it? Satan takes some film and he gives it to you, and your mind is the processing plant. Now guess what you're going to get off of that film? Anybody knows? Give me a hand and tell me somebody. Anybody ever dropped off some film to, I don't care whether it was Eckerd's, Walgreens, or whatever place, you know, Kodak or whatever. Did they change the images that were on the film? What did they do? They just developed the images that you put on the print or the film or whatever the recording mechanism was. Now here's what you got to realize. When the enemy introduces a thought to you, he simply puts it in your mind for development. Now, you got a choice. When you recognize that what he has given you is illicit, immoral, not right, not good for you, you have a choice. You can finish developing that or reject that. Now, based on your character and your content, you're going to do one or the other because you can't do both. You might develop one and say, ooh. And then you might be like, oh, this is disgusting. No, I can't do no more of that. And immediately, you know, return this back to the center, sender. I said sinner, didn't I? Okay, that's a Freudian slip. Okay, or you can say, Lord, I can't wait to see what this next one gonna be like. And you keep going on and keep going on. And then even after, listen at this, the devil is so cunning that he might tempt you. Guess what you might do? Even if you give them all the copies of their stuff, can he take out of your mind and your thoughts what you have allowed to continue to go on and develop? How many times began y'all looking at me with that strange look? How many times have you had a dream? It was a good dream. May not have nothing to do with God, but it was a good dream. And nature called and you had to stop when you were like, then when foolishly enough, I've done it, that's why I'm telling you, get back in the bed and try and pick up where you left off at. You'd be like, you know what? I know a good ending to this dream. I mean, so you got to realize you're responsible for what you do, not for what others do, not for what Satan introduces to you. Because when you develop what he enters in as a thought, then it says that you want that thing to happen, come to pass, etc. And so God holds you responsible for, again, what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are not responsible for others' actions. You're responsible for your own thoughts, your own actions. Here's another thing I want you to know. You're responsible for what you believe. Psalm 118 verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. See, when you really know what you believe, then what you believe becomes what you depend on. If you really believe God, you'll depend on God. Too many times we've been disappointed and let down, hurt, and I mean just ripped at the very seams of our emotions and feelings because we depended on somebody who couldn't do what only God could do. We put our trust in them to a level that exceeded the trust that we put in God. So as a result of that, God proved to us that nobody is greater than he is. Nobody can do to us, for us, with us, through us, like God can do. And when we put them, elevate them over God in our lives, God will step back and let you see that person can't handle even the smallest of things sometimes that you assign them to. See, what you don't realize is people desire to be a blessing. They desire to want to help you. They desire to want to be there, but they're limited in the flesh. How many times have you promised somebody to do something for them and you had every good intention, but something happened that prevented you from doing that? Any witnesses in the house? I mean, you even tried to call and tried to tell them why you can't, but did it stop the disappointment? No, because they were depending on you to come through with what you said, and they let their guards down, and they got to that point where they trusted in you more than they trusted in God, and then as a result of that, God allowed you to see they can't take his place. Now, I'm not saying that we're not to depend on others on each other. God has given us clear indication in his word that we ought to, but that is with limits, and God wants us to know it's our responsibility to help one another, to support one another, to be there for one another, but never in the context of the God consciousness. In other words, we're supposed to never elevate anybody, mama, daddy, husband, wife, brother, sister, friend, or foe, to the place and position we elevate God to. And so we should never depend on anybody greater than we depend on the Lord. First of all, we need to realize as we trust God and depend on God, and as we put ourselves in a position to believe God, that we make God simply the caretaker of his own word. We make God accountable and responsible to his own word. God has said to us, put me in remembrance. What is that he's saying to us about his word? Listen, remind me that I said, when you get sick, I'm going to heal you. I'm your Lord, your healer. Put me in remembrance that I am your provider. And when you get to the point where the substance dry up in this area, that source or resource was not your source. It was redirected to be a source for that moment, but it was never ever designed to be your source. So when your resource dries up, you go back to the source and he'll redirect you to another source. I shared this illustration about Elijah, who had been given the charge to preach to Ahab and tell him get himself together because God was cutting off rain and dew for 3 years and 6 months because of the wickedness of his sin. He preached that message. God immediately cut off rain and dew from heaven to earth for a span of 3 years and 6 months. Ahab tried to kill Elijah, sought for him, searched for him, but it wasn't until God sent him back to him to tell him, I'm going to let rain come back to the ground. But in the meantime, God used multiple sources, resources, to sustain him through that famine, through those conditions. He used a brook and he let it dry up. He used ravens to bring him bread and flesh. He used a widow woman who was about to make her last meal and eat it, and her and her son were gonna die. And he sustained them all because God is our source. And when we depend on him, he has many other resources to redirect us. Don't you think that the blessing you got right now is the last blessing you gonna get if God is your source?
All right.
Whatever door he has opened up now, do you not think he's got a bigger, better door waiting if you trust him and believe in him as your source? I get so sick and tired of people who want to make our God, who created the universe, everything in the universe, the earth is his, the world and they that dwell in him, minimize him to a place and point that he could only do one good thing in their lives, like he can't exceed what he's already done. And so when people come and I got this problem. Well, what's your problem? Well, I know I'm living in sin and I know I'm not right. I'm shacking up and I know God don't like that and whatever. Okay. Well, move out. Well, I can't because he paid a note and he do this and he do the other thing. Okay. And he beats me up and he messed my children, blah, blah, and I can't leave. You can't what? You shouldn't even be here. You should already be gone. What you think I'm gonna tell you? No, baby, just stay there, get knocked upside your head, be mistreated, do that, because God can't open the door, God can't bless you, God can't give you a real man, because a real man wouldn't be beating up on you and would not be in resp- y'all must have some bad men. Ain't no woman saying nothing. Ain't no real man gonna beat up on no woman. I'm gonna just say that. I say it to you, say it to him, say it to whomever. No real man is going to misuse no woman like that. You're a real man, Brady. Now, you know, I mean, you got to realize God is your source. You many times hinder your own self because you depend on the wrong person. The door is waiting for you to be able to walk through. God said, Revelation chapter 3, talking to the church, but the believers, behold, I've set before thee an open door. You can leave out of one bad situation and walk into a better situation. Just go through the door. The door is open. That must be a word for somebody. I don't know. I'm not joking. That must be a word for somebody. But listen at this. God is your source. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is your source. If you don't have a neighbor, God, maybe God is saying to you, say to yourself, self, God is my source. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. And when God is your source and you believe God, trust in God, you start walking by faith on what God has said. You accept stuff that God has never ordained for you to accept. You put yourself in a position to be misused and abused because you won't trust God. You don't think that God can honor his word and do what he said he'll do. So therefore, it's not done for you. It's being done for millions every day who trust him and believe him. You've got a part to play, and you're responsible for that part that you play. So when you depend on him, it's clear. Psalm 71 and 5 says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. I thank God I have a testimony like that. I have that kind of relationship that God has been my hope and my trust from my youth up. That's why I love the song that says, you can't make me doubt it. I know, Sister Butler, too much about him. We've been through too much together. He's proven to me time and time again, if I'm foolish enough to trust him above what everybody else says, that he'll back up his word, and he just wants me to have that kind of faith when everybody else doubts him to believe him, and so he could put them to an open shame. Your breakthrough is waiting on you to trust God, to believe God. And so you'll discover God is faithful. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of God, that shall stand. Man can come up with a whole lot of mess, a whole lot of stuff. Jeremiah 17, 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, when you start depending on your heart and man's heart and all the rest of these hearts, you get yourself in a heart messed up situation. But when you depend on God and make your heart align with what God has said, your heart won't be deceived, you won't be deceived, and you'll be walking in the things of God. So when you depend on God, you are able, as your responsible part is, to see God do what God promised he'll do. All right, you are responsible for something else. What you say, what you declare. You're responsible for what you think, what you deem important. You're responsible for what you believe, what you depend on because of your belief. And you are responsible for what you say, what you declare. Proverbs 18 and 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. It's in a place and a position where whatever you really desire to come forth comes forth at your command. When you declare it, listen at this, the Bible says, those who love the fruit thereof will see the end of what they speak. In other words, you can tell when you love something, and you can love something that you hate. You say, what do you mean you can love something that you hate? Because when you give it the position of something that should be loved and cherished, and you speak of it more than you do of the things you love and cherish, then it becomes that hated thing that you love to hate. Are y'all hearing me? See, what you don't realize is that when you speak words, declare words, release words, you're following the paradigm from Genesis 1. You're made in God's image and in God's likeness. The Bible is clear that there was nothing, nowhere God spoke. And everything he spoke, the Holy Ghost took it and manifested it, made it appear. Now, you made a little lower, but you're made in his image and in his likeness. So it may take you a little longer. He said at one time, and the record is, it was. God said, let there be light. There it was. Whatever he said, the Holy Ghost took it and said. Well, now we're in a different dispensation, but we still have that same paradigm, that same example. So here's what you got to realize now, that because this world is leased to Satan, he's the prince of the air, when we speak now, whatever is God-like words filled with faith, the Holy Ghost is responsible for taking those words and making them appear.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-225-225. 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry.